Are you ready to worship the Lord today? Are you glad to be in His house? Then let's stand up and let's proclaim His name today.
Let me hear you say hallelujah. Come on, raise a hallelujah. Sometimes in the midst of the storms that we face, sometimes we get in a moment where we think to ourselves, what am I going to do? And then we see God answer. We see God emerge. We see God do something that we didn't realize could even be done. And you know what? Sometimes all that we need to say is hallelujah. Praise be to the name of Jesus, who gives us more than we deserve, keeps from us, and allows us to have things and punishments that we probably do deserve, and most of all, heaps his blessings upon us as we're faithful to the promises he's given us. And so I just say today, hallelujah. Hallelujah for a day to worship him. Hallelujah to a day where God is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Amen. May we never lose our perspective in the midst of all the craziness of life, that this truth remains, and that is, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That God will never change, he'll never be defeated, that God still sits on the throne, and that no matter what we face, nothing is impossible for our God. Amen? Amen. Would you just go to the Lord and pray with me this morning? Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that your word says that greater is he that's in me, that's in us, than he that's in the world. And so men may come against you, and the devil may try to work against the plans of the heavens. But Lord, we know that, hallelujah, that you are the King of Kings, that you are the Lord of Lords. And so we welcome you into this place today. We welcome the victory that you bring. We welcome the freedom that you bring. We welcome the peace that you bring. We welcome the joy that you bring. Lord, we welcome the Holy Spirit that comes in this place and meets us right where we're at. And so today we dedicate this service unto you. We praise you and we thank you. And we say, Lord, thank you for allowing us to be the sons and the daughter of the Most High God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. Amen. Amen. I love that song. Hallelujah. Well, I just want to welcome those of you who have come to visit today. Maybe you've come into this place as your first time here, or maybe it's your second time here, or maybe you've been here three or four times, or maybe you've been here three or four years, or maybe you can't remember the last time you weren't here. Anybody there? Come on. Yeah. But we want to say welcome to those of you who come to visit. And if you'll take a card that's in the seat back in front of you, fill it out. And fill it, and then stick it in the offering that's going to pass in just a little bit. That gives us a record of your attendance. It helps us to know that you are that you've come to visit with us, and it will just be a blessing to us, and we'll be able to reach out to you and say, "Hey, thanks for coming. Thanks for coming." We've got some announcements, and some of them are really critical. Some of you have asked me a lot of questions, so I'm going to try to be as clear as possible. Today, for our Connect group, we are going to the OKC Dodgers game. There's 61 of us going to the game, and I'm super excited. We're going to get to go to the game and get a ball cap and all-you-can-eat hamburgers and hot dogs and all that good stuff. Most of all, we're going to get to fellowship together. And so let me be really clear. The game starts at 2 o'clock. The game starts at 2 o'clock, but we are going to leave here at 1 o'clock sharp, which means if you want to go get a Coke or something or change your clothes real quick and come right back, that's perfect. Most of you, I wouldn't think you'd want to eat lunch because we're going to have a bunch of food at the game, and so maybe grab a snack or something before we head that way, but we're going to leave at 1 o'clock, and if we have more, and the only way we won't take the bus is if we have less than 20 people. If we have more than 20 people, there's 61 of us. So I would recommend you save your gas, save your money parking, all right? The church will pay for the parking of the bus, but if you take your own vehicle, then that's your expense. And so we'd love to help you save some money. How many know gas has gone up? Anybody notice that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're just about 50 cents from armed guards at every gas station. So, you laugh, but I've been to Haiti where they really do have those. So, but anyway, we want you to be able to ride with us if you can. If not, you can follow behind us, or if you're going to meet us there, all right, you've got something you got to do and you're going to meet us there, we are going to be at the home plate. In the bulletin, it says the Mickey Mantle statue, but it's not. It's actually at the Johnny Bench statue. That's home plate, Johnny Bench. And so, sorry, Johnny, for misidentifying your statue. I was down there the other day, and I went, that's not Mickey Mantle. So, anyway, we'll meet at home plate, and I prefer that you be there no later than 1:45, okay? Then we can get in, and we'll be able to eat and set and hang out and watch the game. And so if you have any other questions, you can find me afterwards, but we'll be ready to go. Okay. Also, the Easter extravaganza is coming up this Saturday. Can you believe it? We are this Saturday from having the Easter egg hunt that we do every year. And so this, we'll have bikes across the front and we'll have to give away and we'll have people sitting right here in these seats where you're sitting and be sharing the gospel and then having a big Easter egg hunt out back. And it's just a great time. If you volunteered or you want to volunteer, we'd love for you to sign up and then be here no later than 10 o'clock, okay? The Easter egg hunt's at 11. We need you to be here at 10 so we can be all stations go and everybody assigned. And some will help us to put out eggs and some people help register and do all those different things. And so we'd love for you to come and be a part of that. And so just be here by 10 and that'll be awesome. Also, next Sunday is Easter. That's right. That's right. This is the Sunday where some of you wear dressier clothes and you do the rest of the year. And some of you guys shave. And most of you are matching with people you don't want to match with. And so how many don't obviously it's going to ruin surprise. So ladies, don't raise your hand, but maybe just make eye contact with you. How many of you ladies out there have some matching clothes your husband doesn't know about for next week? Yeah, I know you're out there. All right. And after 20 years of marriage, I've just resigned to it. I know that there's some pastel piece of clothing I'm going to be wearing next week. So anyway, invite a friend. It's a perfect Sunday to invite a friend. We want people to come and be a part of us in our service for Easter. We're going to have a tremendous service. We want you to be here. Bring a friend, bring a family member, bring a stranger, invite somebody, and let's have a great service next Sunday. And then lastly, we have kids and youth camps coming up. Spots are going very quickly. And so if your kid or grandkid or somebody you know wants to go, you need to come and see myself for youth camp. That's junior and high school. Or for elementary kids camp, that's Pastor Chad, and we'll get you signed up. We just don't want any kid to miss out on the opportunity to go to camp this summer. We ask the ushers to come as we receive the tithe and offering this morning. Amen, amen. As they come, let me just say this. We have officially started receiving items for our garage sale. As you know, every year during Rose Rock, we do a large garage sale the youth department does to help us raise money for our summer missions trip. And it is just continuing to grow and grow every year. The Lord's continuing to put his hand of blessing upon it. And so if you have stuff, you can begin to bring it. Some people brought some stuff today, and we'll be taking those for up until the garage sale begins. And so some of you have told me you're storing stuff away. Well, you don't have to store it away anymore. You'll have room at your house because you can bring it up to the church now. And so I want to make that announcement. If you have any questions, you can talk to me afterwards or call the church office. All right, let's pray with the tithe and offering this morning. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for your hand that's upon our church. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do next Saturday at the Easter egg extravaganza outreach. We thank you, Lord, that as we reach out to the community, Lord, lives will be changed and souls will be saved and people will be reached. Lord, help us to just reach out of the four walls of our church and, Lord, what we call the marketplace where people are lost and they're dying and they're going to hell. But yet, Lord, we know the one who can save them. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all that's happening in our church today and in these coming weeks and months. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go back into worship.
Deep. days may be darkest, but your light is greater. You light our way, God, you light our way. When evil is rising, you're rising high.
Everything in the name of
Your kingdom triumphs over even the coldest grave. So come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything. In the name of Jesus, this is a house of miracles. We sing, come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. I still believe you're moving. I still believe you're speaking. I still believe you're working all things for good. I fix my eyes on heaven. God, I receive your vision. God, you believe your work all things for good. I still believe you're moving. I still believe you're speaking. I still believe you're working all things for good. I fix my eyes on heaven. God, I receive your vision. God, I believe you're working all things for good. So come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. So come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. Oh, we bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. Jesus. I still believe you're moving. I still believe you're speaking. God, I believe you're working all things for good. Worship you this morning, Jesus. Oh, we glorify you, Jesus. God, we believe that you're working all things for our good, Lord Jesus. We worship you, God. We look to the left and right and see all of the things that are happening around us, God. But we know that you are still working for our good, Lord Jesus. Your power still runs through our veins, Lord Jesus. We declare your power this morning in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we declare your power, Lord Jesus. You are still working. You are still on the throne, God. You are still at work in this world and in our lives, Jesus. We praise you, God. They say this mountain can't be. We've heard that. seen what you can do. There is power in your name. So much power in your name. Move the immovable, break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. From the
Praise God. You believe God can do the impossible? Amen. He can break the unbreakable. We know what man says, but how many of you know God always triumphs over man's opinion? You may be wrestling with something that looks impossible. Have no fear. Your God is able. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have about four or five prayer requests this morning. Pastor Mark and Kalisha, who was on staff here several years ago, they have a granddaughter that was born 2 weeks ago named Scarlett, who is having serious brain surgery tomorrow. So we want to pray for little Scarlett. Tyra Hobbs' friend Jen needs a serious touch from the Lord. Byron and Mylene Formalt's son Michael needs God's healing touch. Linda Turner is in a serious condition at Southwest Medical Center. And then I want us to pray, Pastor Phil's already mentioned, for our Easter outreach and Easter Sunday. How many of you believe in for something? Let me see your hand. You got something on your heart today. God sees your hand. God knows what's going on. But let's take these needs, all these needs, and the ones I've mentioned and the ones that's upon your heart to the Lord. Help me pray today. Lord, we come to you as the body of Christ. We come to you, Lord, as children of God. Lord, you've told us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition to present our requests to you. And so, Father, today, Lord, we pray that you would minister to Pastor Mark and Kalisha's granddaughter, Scarlett. I pray, Lord, that this surgery is successful. I pray that there's no problems. I pray that you bring complete healing to this little one. Father, we pray for Jen today that you would touch her. She's in serious condition, Lord, and needs your touch. I pray that you minister to her right now, as well as Linda Turner. Lord, is in need of your help right now. I pray that you touch Linda. Lord, be with Michael Formalt. I pray that you would just minister to his need today and touch him. Father God, I pray for Easter Sunday and Easter outreach. I pray for good weather, but I pray for a move of your Spirit both on Saturday and Sunday as we reach out to our community, as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Jesus, we thank you today that you see every hand that was raised. You know every need, Lord, that's upon our hearts. And I pray that you touch them. I pray, Father God, that you put faith in our heart to believe you, to believe for it, as this song that we just sang said, to believe for the impossible, to believe, God, that you can move and meet every need. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated this morning. What a joy it is to be in the house of the Lord. How many of you are glad you're in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen and amen. I would just love coming to church and thanking the Lord for the opportunity we have to gather together. This morning, we are so delighted to have Wendell and Patty McClung with us. They are missionaries to Slovakia, right over there, right next door to where all the invasion of Ukraine is happening. They are, their country where they minister to is literally borders Ukraine. And so I'm sure he's going to mention something about that. But they've been on the mission field for the last 27 years. We support them now, I think, about 6 years, 8 years. I'm not really sure, for a while now. But we're just glad they're here, privileged to have them. Wendell is right here from Central Oklahoma, a graduate of Moore High School, 1978. You should have been born a year later, and you'd have been in the fine class of 79. But, hey, we'll let that one go. Amen. Give a hand to Wendell and Patty McClung.
With all the paraphernalia, we have to have shake hands and hug. And so, not the COVID one. A 6 feet apart hug is just not Oklahoma, is it? Well, and I taught English, so I won't say ain't too much. I'm really glad to be here. It's good to be here. And I just really stirring in my heart some of the things I want to say, but I want to greet some people and say some things. And somebody knows Scott and Carol Rowley. I think they're her sister. Yeah, okay. Howdy, y'all. And we're just glad to be here. We want to say hello and greetings from the Slovak churches. And we've been there for 10 years. 10 years before that, we were in Lithuania and a couple years in Belgium. And our son was born in Belgium in 1984. We were there in 83 and 84. And God is doing a great thing in Europe, and I'm glad to see he's doing good things in Oklahoma. Amen? Amen. We, Pastor had mentioned some things about he'd like to hear our testimony. We minister among the university students because the university, it's not quite as big as Oklahoma University, but we have international students that come, and it's in the medical school in Košice, Slovakia, which is in the eastern part near Ukraine and only about 15 minutes from the border with Hungary on the south, and Poland is to the north of us. And we minister to these students because the medical school part of the university is in English. And so we have students come to our house, which we live in the basement of the church. It's a nice apartment, a walkout basement. And we have students during the school year every Sunday afternoon at our apartment. And a lot of those students those students are not Slovaks. They mostly are African and from Pakistan, Afghanistan, other places. And anyway, we're able to talk to them about Christ. And a lot of them are Christians, and some of them came to Christ. But we're ministering to those students. But one of the things that we do when we get together and we have new students, how do you know? Do you know the Lord? What is your testimony? And we start giving our testimony because, as Pastor said, that is very important to us. And I won't say it's my idea because it's Patty's idea. And she always likes to. And these students have been in college all week, you know, and they've had ramen noodles all week. And Patty will make them brownies and cookies and all that kind of stuff. And I'll cook burgers on the grill and stuff like that. And so we don't have a problem having students. But then we talk to them about Christ, and then they start giving their testimonies. And there's just hundreds of those. But Pastor asked me to kind of give my testimony this morning. And so I grew up in Moore, Oklahoma. There was two addresses we had up there, and I graduated from Moore High School. We had one back in the 1900s. And now there's three, I guess, high schools. But and after that is when I came to the Lord. I was down in southeastern Oklahoma. My mom was raised down there, and my uncle was living in Antlers, Oklahoma. And he was playing in bands. He had bands that did music at the bars. And there was this one bar down by Hugo, Oklahoma, called the Green Thumb. And, of course, in Oklahoma, you know, maybe you can't steal, I don't know. But back then, you couldn't sell alcohol in the city limits of any town. So this was out away from everything. And anyway, we were out there. The band was going strong, and the dance floor started emptying out about 10:30 Saturday night. And I went into the, God had already started dealing with me. My sister Tammy had gotten saved and started dragging me to church. And I'd go to church, and I knew she'd been talking to the pastor, because I was such conviction. But I didn't know that was conviction of the Holy Spirit. I just, because I was not raised a Christian. And I won't talk about that because we're online and my stepmom might be watching. But anyway, but he wasn't doing things that were Christian. I'll just say it that way. And now what he was doing is legal now, but it wasn't back then. So we won't talk about growing marijuana in the garage. So, and I was smoking, but not his, because that was just too awkward, you know, anyway. But so my uncle had this band. They start clearing out the dance hall. I go into where they play pool, and there was nobody in there. And I went to go outside. I opened the door and stepped outside. And there was like a little step there, and I stepped down. And here was the owner over here. He's washing the sidewalk. He's hosing it down. I was like, wow. I said, hey, what's going on? Why did everybody leave? And he said, oh, everything's going to be okay. Go back inside. So I turned to go back inside, and boom, there's a guy laying there. He's covered, and he's dead. And that same voice that I heard at my sister's church spoke to my heart. He said, do you want to end your life like that? And I said, no. He said, if you don't get your life right with God and get in church, your life is going to end just like that. Now, I'm the oldest So I'm the smartest. If my parents raised any dummies, it was probably me, but my brother and sister are smarter than I am, but I'm not the dumbest. But I knew what the Holy Spirit was talking about. I really didn't know that it was the Holy Spirit necessarily. But anyway, from that moment on, I said, I'm going to live for the Lord. Because I don't want my life to end endless or meaninglessness. You read Ecclesiastes, you see that word used a lot. And my sister had gotten saved. I'd gone. So here I am. And now my uncle that was leading the band, who was a quadriplegic, he was a singer. He's paralyzed in a wheelchair. And he started a Bible study in his house in Antlers, Oklahoma. And the youth pastor was our leader. And I prayed to accept Jesus there. I went on Wednesday night. And one thing that held me back at my sister's church was they didn't have altar calls. I mean, they had an altar call, but nobody would go forward. And I wasn't going to be the only one. I knew I was probably the only sinner there, but I wasn't going to be the only one. But at the Assembly of God Church in Antlers, Oklahoma, when the pastor started giving the altar call, everybody gets up and starts going forward. I was like, well, this is going to be all right. Anyway, so I get up and I said, I want to make a public confession, Lord Jesus. I'd prayed silently to myself and to the Lord in the cell group. But I wanted to make a public confession, so I got up and I walked forward. And a few Sundays later, I heard about the Holy Spirit, and there was two ladies in the church. Four ladies in the church were helping me at the altar. And I'm kidding you not. You know, I haven't, you know, grown up in church. And so they're helping me keep my hands up, because you can't get baptized in the Holy Spirit without your hands up. And I kid you not, one of the ladies was saying, hang on. The other one was saying, let loose. Okay, hang on to Jesus and let loose of sin. All right, I got that one. And they were praying in this unknown language, where I really didn't understand. Then the pastor's wife, she was watching and praying, one eye open and looking at me and then praying some unknown language and looking at me. And then her finger went in my mouth, pulled out this gum. I was chewing gum. Boy, you can't get the Holy Ghost with gum in your mouth. You stick your finger in there, it's coming off next time. Man, that was just gross and weird. And somehow or another, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. God called me to the ministry. And I've got a wonderful wife I've been married to for 41 years. And three kids that are serving the Lord. And all five of my grandkids are serving the Lord. And it's the best thing that ever happened to me. 2016, we were here and spoke and gave testimonies about what we had done our first term in Slovakia. And my dad came to church, first service. He lived in Lexington. And he came to church. He sat right up there, sat by Patty. And at the end of my presentation, pastor said, asked about people, if you know the Lord, if you want to know the Lord. My dad raised his hand. And I was talking about that with my stepmom last night. And she said, yeah, your dad was a believer. Your dad. And I just thank God that my dad accepted the Lord. He raised his hand sitting right there. Well, I didn't know that growing up. And I didn't know that before that point. I talked to him and it wasn't a subject that he would get into a lot with me. But I would try. But now, then from that moment, from 2016... his Facebook chatter changed. He was talking about praying for people and talking about the name of Jesus. So I just thank God for our testimony. This is the best thing that ever happened. God has saved us. He's got a plan for us. Jeremiah 29:11. The Lord says, I know the plans I have for you, to bless you and to not harm you, and to give you a hope and a future. I just thank God that he knows the future. Whether we have 5 minutes or 5 years or whatever it is, God knows the future. And so I just thank God for those things and thank God for his care over us and his plans for us. It's just such amazing, all that he has for us. And if you don't know the Lord, if you kind of backslid a little bit, I want to challenge you today. Don't wait any longer. Come on in. The water's fine. The love of God is excellent. And don't listen to what the devil says. Because it doesn't matter what the devil says, it's what he says. I am who he says I am. I am who Jesus and the Father God says I am. And so are you. And so I want to talk about that today. I want to mention, read the scripture in Matthew chapter 16. In verse 13, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some still others, and others still say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for these great testimony. Thank you, God, that we just pray, Lord, for those prayer requests. And we pray, God, that you would pour out your spirit and continue to do healing, because this is a house of healing. And this house leaves this building because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we pray, God, for your healing. We pray for your blessing on your word today. Give us ears to hear, Holy Spirit, what you want us to hear today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Who do people say Jesus is? You know, that's one of the great things about missions. We want to introduce this Jesus to everybody we can. Even in Oklahoma, where there's a church on every corner, there's still people that don't really know who Jesus is. And I think the disciples in this context here are thinking about what? Okay, yeah, you're Jesus. Yeah. And then he says to them, so who do people say that I am? And then he says, who do you say I am? And so we want to ask that today of ourselves. Who do I say Jesus is with my actions when I'm in the marketplace, when I'm out in the, when I'm at a family reunion and things like that, when I'm in class, wherever it's at? We are showing who Jesus is. And sometimes we use words. And our actions are telling who Jesus is. And that's what we want to do in missions. And we want to show who Jesus is. And so what we do with our ministry among the gypsy people in Slovakia, we have a ministry in our Slovak church. It's about this size. Then we have three balconies. And we minister a lot of people to the Slovak people. But then there are the gypsy Roma people, 500,000 of them that live in Slovakia, 90% unemployment, and they live well below poverty. They get welfare checks, but it's about $300 per family. And the cost of living there is at 120. So it's like 20%. More to live there than it costs to live here in the U.S. or here in Oklahoma. So that kind of gives you an idea. But we're ministering to those people. We're ministering in our Slovak church. We're ministering in among the students, as I mentioned. And I'll show you some slides about that stuff. But my point is that we all want to just show who Jesus really is. Who do you say Jesus is with your actions? Let's go to the next slide if we can, brother. Okay, I wasn't looking. All right, we'll go to the next slide. Yes, I had those backwards. Okay. Anyway, let's just go on to the next slide. I've taken a little more time than I wanted to talk about. But praying and giving. Cornelius, the angel showed up at Cornelius' house. Cornelius is a Gentile, and God hadn't poured his spirit out on Gentiles yet, and he chose Cornelius, because Cornelius, it says there, your praying and your giving has come up as a memorial before God. God has remembered your praying and your giving, and he is now going to give you a big blessing. So go get Peter down in Joppa, bring him back. And so as Peter's preaching, the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes on him and his whole house. He found the meaning, even though he wasn't a Jew, but he was a believer in Yahweh, in God, and he followed him, and God chose him because of his praying is given. We'll go to the next slide. We've been doing this for over... Boy, that got mixed up. How about the next one? There we go. Sorry about that, folks. It works different every Sunday. It was snowing last Sunday, and yeah, okay. So I won't say anything about the Frozen Chosen in Wisconsin, because Patty's from Wisconsin, and so I thank God for that. Anyway, we've been doing missions over 26, 27 years, because people are praying and giving, we go and preach, and God brings the increase. That's the whole key, because God is to get all the glory. And I don't want a name on my ministry, and several times we would go out and do ministry among the Gypsy people and among the Roma people, and you can see there, this is a team was working among the kids in some of our communities there, and this community, we'd had a great big outreach with Convoy of Hope and seen over 300 people come to Christ, and then there was a team to follow up, and we're ministering to kids, and because of BGMC, we're giving literature to these kids that they can learn who Jesus is. And that's how it works. You pray and give, and we print stuff, and we go show them, and we tell them, and then we give them food and clothes, and a lot of things are happening to help them to know who Jesus is. And God gets the glory. We'll go to the next slide. It's the right one. Amen. Community events. We ministered many of those and go into a community. The mother church has canvassed that area. Pastor was telling me about Brother Hales. What's her first name? Chris Hale. And he is now in Czech Republic. We're in Slovakia. And how, so that's what we do with mother churches, how that the church in Tuttle, Mustang, came over here and started canvassing the area and telling people about Christ. That's what we do in Slovakia. We have a mother church. They go into areas and start canvassing the area. They build up cell groups, and then we have an event, a community event, where we minister to a lot of them. We have food at the beginning, and we have a kids' church tent, and we have, and you'll see some of the pictures of that, and then we minister, and then we send them home, and then we follow up after that with the same guys that invited. They go back and say, what did it mean to you? Do you know who Jesus is? And our churches are growing and growing. I'll tell you some of that. And plus that, then, we have planted 5 churches, and we have 7 construction projects going on. So we've had construction teams come with thousands of dollars, just planting some seeds, to help us build their church where there wasn't a church. And then there are several churches where there was a church that we're adding on. And all this has been happening in the last 10 years, 11 years, to get us to the point where we are receiving refugees. You see where this team is? This was a construction team, the Convoy of Hope field teams. And in that church building right there, they've put the pews away and they put the music equipment away, and people are sleeping up there on the platform in that church right there. That have refugees that have come from Ukraine. Thousands of them in many of our churches, several of our churches. Now Convoy of Hope has rented a hotel and are housing these people until they can find temporary permanent housing, until the war is over. And so God already knew ahead of time that there was going to be this influx of people, and they're coming because you're praying and giving, because of us being obedient to go and preach and to show the love of Jesus. That's how it works. Making disciples. Jesus said, go into all the world and make as many converts as you can. He didn't say that. He said, make disciples. So that's why we follow up. When we got there in 2011, our Bible school that was in the Košice church where we live there, the Bible school there had about 10% were Roma and Gypsy people. Today, because of God's moving among them, 90% of our students now are Gypsy and Roma people, and 10% is Slovak. It's been a transition of what God is doing to make disciples, because that is our heart, that is our desire, that make disciples and make the ministry sustainable. So that if we have to come back for health issues, which we did, and because of COVID, the ministry could continue. And it is continuing today. Thank the Lord. We'll go to the next slide. This is a town where we did a... Okay, wow. That's not the next slide. I don't know what happened, brother. You know, there it is. All right. I don't have a clue what... Yeah, your computer's got to need to be... Okay. You know, I say it happens every Sunday. That is the first Sunday that this has happened. But it's special. I'm home, so it's kind of... All right. So anyway, you can see this is what we do. There's the tents and all those kinds of things. And then when they leave, we give them a Bible. We've translated the New Testament into the Roman language. They a lot of them know Slovak, but not a lot of them, not every one of them. And so we've printed in their language the New Testament. And right now the process is going to get all of the whole Bible translated into the Roman language so that they can know them. And know who Jesus is. We've shown him, and then they can learn who Jesus is. We'll go to the next slide, see what that, yes. So we did a community event in this little red church. They had about 60 people meeting in that building right there. And we did the community event on Saturday, had five services, about 300 people in each service. That's what our invitations were, including kids. And then the next morning, they had 100 first-time visitors in that little church. And the following Sunday, 8 days later, there was over 200 people showed up at this church. Pastor told me, he said, well, we quit counting at 200. I don't know if there was more. I think there was. But anyway, and so they moved up to this building, the one that's underneath there. And we ran an extension cord up there, and they started having church up there. And then with funds from the U.S. and family and friends, we put the roof on there. Me and Pastor Igor helped put the roof on there. And God just really moved. I called it Harvest Church. And you can see the baptismal there. That year, there was over 100 people were baptized in baptized in water to continue their walk, to make disciples. And that church was going really good until COVID, but God has a plan. God is moving by his Spirit. This church here, Scott, I asked Scott to come with me on April 12th, 2000, somewhere in 2014. I'm really good with numbers and dates. But anyway, I asked Scott because I was showing videos to people and they were saying, hey, Wendell, we got to get your picture in there. We got to get you in there. I said, I don't want to be in there. I want to show you what God is doing. They said, but we got to have a name on it so they can give to help you do this ministry, to help it grow. And I said, okay. So I asked Scott Rowley to take some pictures and maybe some video of the service, because this church then, the next year, so this was in 2014. In 2015, we went to Ketsarovsa. So Scott was there. He took pictures and some videos. And so on the way back, I said, oh, Scott, were you able to get some pictures and videos? And I look back and he is just crying. He says, brother, I hadn't seen anything like that. The move of the Holy Spirit like that. I hadn't felt that in a long, long time. He said, I don't know if I got any pictures or not. I couldn't see. I was trying, and he transferred me. He got a lot of good pictures. It was April 12, 2014, because it's Patty's birthday. And Pastor had asked me to help that church get ready for our next week. We're going to do another one, an outreach, and we reached over 350 people came to Christ in a neighboring village. And so I preached, and I felt like at the end that God wanted to give an altar call. And I like the pastor to do that because they connect with the pastor, because he's going to help them grow in their knowledge and in Christ to be disciples under his leadership. So I asked him, I said, hey, I really think you should give an altar call, but you do what you want. And he got up and he gave an altar call, and 32 people came forward to give their life to Christ. A week before we had that event, I noticed that there were a lot of visitors and the place was packed out. And Scott was there. But more importantly, the Lord was there. And they got down on their knees and they prayed out loud, really loud. And the guy that was with us, Pastor Igor, he was saying, I hadn't seen anything like that. They were just praying passionately to give their lives. God, forgive us of our sins. Come into our heart. And the pastor was leading them. It was just a great and great experience. And this is just an example, one example of many things that have happened in Slovakia. We'll go to the next slide. And, boy, I was hurrying because I thought I had 5 minutes. I got 30 minutes. Hallelujah. How many give me 5 minutes? You've seen that. 5, 10, 50. Keep those hands up. Okay. Anyway, I want to tell you about Kendica, this place here. We did a community event on that ground where you see there. There wasn't a church building. We did the tents and fences and everything. We saw many people come to Christ. And so this was a church plant from one of our mother churches. We did the outreach, and they started meeting in the town hall. Then we bought the land, and now there's a church building there. We've had several construction teams come. So during the week, we work hard, and we build as much as we can. And then we do a Sunday or Saturday, whichever, however it works, Convoy of Hope event. So we have bags of food again, and we give away bags of food and send them home, and the Bible, the New Testament, and the church is growing and growing. We have about $40,000 to finish this church building, and we hope to get it finished. COVID slowed things down, but God, He knows. It's all in His plans, and it's just testimonies of what God is doing. We'll go to the next slide. These are some of our university students, and I could give you all of their testimonies. It's just so wonderful. Because I was academic dean in Lithuania, I prayed for students, and then the Lord gave us students. And because our kids weren't in Slovakia with us, so God gave us these guys, and we were able to just bless them, love on them in the name of Jesus. Some of them helped us do community events. They go out and... It's just a great, great ministry. We'll go to the next slide. I'd mentioned on April 12th in 2014. April 12th, 2015, that's when Scott was there. Well, the next week, we went to this town. Over 350 gave their heart to Christ. As church people are meeting there. They don't have a building yet and all that stuff. But the mayor, we always go in and get permission from the mayor. And give us a place to meet and set up our tents and all that. It was on a soccer field next to a school. And so everybody knew where it was. And we send out invitations, or they go out with workers and all the things that we do. And I think it was 3 or 4 months later, the mayor called Pastor Igor and said, I want to talk. Sit down and have coffee. So they did. And he said, before you had that event, our town was crazy every month. The mail carrier would take their welfare checks out. She had to have a police escort to give out the welfare checks. Then there would be partying and fighting and mayhem for 10 days to 2 weeks. Because they would just spend all their money and fight and party and all kinds of stuff. So they had to call the ambulances to break up, to help people that had been beaten up or whatever. And then people would rob the ambulance, so they had to have a police escort for the ambulance. He said, but ever since you had that event, that stuff has little by little disappeared. The mail lady says she don't have to have a police escort anymore. They're not partying and fighting. And when they do call the ambulance, because people get sick, they help the ambulance get to where it's going. He said, when are you guys coming back? That's a testimony of a non-believer. We're showing them who Jesus is. Who do people say that I am? Who do the Roma people in Ketseropsa say that he is? He's Jesus. And now those same churches, a lot of them are new believers. They think that's how you always do it. You give people food and clothes. And then you tell them, you show them the love of Jesus first, then you tell them. And now all these refugees are coming in and they're doing the same thing. And the same connections we made with warehouses and wholesalers and retailers, We buy in bulk. We put it in trucks. We take it to a location. They're doing that again. During COVID, the government blamed the spread of COVID in Slovakia on the gypsy people. And so they locked them down, put the National Guard around their communities, and wouldn't let them come and go. But God, our pastors were able to come and go. And so they would get, we would send them money. They would go to get the warehouses. They would stage it in our mother churches and fill up bags of food and go into these communities that were locked down. See, that's sustainability. Who did Jesus say? Who did man say that I am? That's because you're praying and giving and us going and preaching, and God gets the glory. Let's go to the next slide. Again, this is another church. Okay, that's good. We did 20 community events. We've seen over 2,000 people come to Christ. That's just in the Roma Gypsy Ministry. Planted 5 churches. Several of those churches went from 50 people to over 200 because you're praying and giving. God is moving by His Spirit throughout all the land. He's moving here in Oklahoma. People can still be saved here in Oklahoma. There's still people that need it, that need Him. Some of them are my family members. They believe in God, but are they sold out to the Lord? Let's give our all to Him because He gave His all for us. Amen. Let's look at that last scripture. See, I think there's a scripture there. Let's look at the last slide. Yes. Sorry to turn my back on you because I definitely can't see that one. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Ephesians 6, 18 and 19. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. And always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me. We ask you to pray for missionaries. Because some of the times we have avoided many things that we have no idea of. All of us. Because people are praying for us. Maybe accidents, maybe whatever, and God did something to help us avoid that. And there's other times we've gone through things, but He was always with us. No matter what happens, He's always with us. But He calls us to pray for people. And we're Pentecostal, and we pray in the Spirit. To pray for people when we don't know what to pray. And sometimes I don't know what to pray for Ukraine, so I am praying in the Spirit for Ukraine. And praying that God will move. But He already knew. He's already preparing our churches. In 2012, we had to come back from Slovakia. Patty had to have open heart surgery because of her mitral valve prolapse had gotten severe. We went back to Wisconsin. One of the ladies in our church that I pastored in Michigan was in Dubuque, Iowa. And she set it all up at the University Hospital in Madison, Wisconsin. She had open heart surgery. Everything went fine with the surgery. They were able to repair, not have to replace it with a mechanical valve. But then in December 31st, we were in therapy and her heart had been racing ever since the surgery. The pacemaker got messed up, the natural pacemaker in our hearts. And it was messed up for her. And so her heart was over 100. And then it'd go up to 140 beats per minute, which is well over double of hers. And so we went down to Dubuque, Iowa, 4 hours later, 4 hours away. And Karen Loken and the doctor, she did this thing called a cardioversion, and it straightened her heart out. Started beating a new rate, low rate. So we went back to Wisconsin at Patty's brother's house. And my daughter had moved from California. Her husband was in the Marine Corps. And she was going to have another baby a few months later up there in Wisconsin. And she was there. And so I crashed. We had started about 7 o'clock the morning before and went to Iowa 4 hours away and came back and got home 1:30 in the morning. So I was down there sleeping. And here my 3.5-year-old granddaughter came down the stairs. Papa, Papa. So I figured out something was wrong. And so I ran upstairs and I found Patty, and she had had cardiac arrest. She was lifeless, not breathing, no heart rate, on the couch. I started CPR. I called 911. It took them over 10 minutes to get there. Then they took her to the hospital. And there's a bunch of stories in there, but I want to expedite this a bit. But got to the hospital. The chaplain met me right away and said, your wife is on life support. She's in a coma, and she's non-responsive. Is it okay if I pray with you? And I had called our church in Cochita. We have a prayer chain and a national prayer group to pray for us. I'd called Springfield, Missouri, and all of our leaders happened to be in a meeting. And I interrupted them because I told them it was urgent. And they said, okay, when we'll pray. People were praying for Patty. She was in that coma for 26 hours, non-responsive. So they couldn't do any tests. The neurologist told me that after 2 minutes with cardiac, full sudden cardiac arrest, after 2 minutes, the brain damage starts. After 5 minutes, it's usually irreversible. Your wife was gone over 10 minutes. And we figured it out was probably about 17 minutes that she was out without electricity and oxygen and blood to her brain. So he told me, he said, if she survives, there will be serious brain damage. I said, okay. So we started praying. The missions director came up about three hours from there, came up to where we were in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, in the hospital. And he tried to talk to Patty. She was still incoherent. He said, okay, let's pray. I was on one side of the bed, and Galen Hendrickson was on the other side of the bed. And he prayed. Don't know what he prayed, but I'm pretty sure it was something like that. We would normally pray for people, but in Jesus' name. Amen. We opened our eyes, and Patty's looking at us. And she starts responding. So Galen says, can you squeeze my hand? And she did. And there was a nurse standing at the foot of the bed. Maybe she tickled her foot. I don't know. But she said, all right, boys, out of here. She's responding now, and we're going to do the tests. So the cardiologist took me and my daughter into a consultation room, says, do not disturb on the door, and took us in there. I don't know what he said, because then there was a knock at the door, and the neurologist came in. He said, I'm sorry to interrupt. He said, but that, I have to tell you, that statistics, those statistics that I told you, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, is decades and thousands of patients of statistics. And so when we did the first brain neurological scan on your wife, there's absolutely no way it could be true. So we did a second one. He said, but, and it was the same. There's absolutely no brain damage. And he said, there is, and she's going to have a full recovery. Come on, Patty. Amen. And we've heard of people being called in the middle of the night to pray and pray for other people. And so remember to pray for us, because we really need it. And God raised her up and healed her. 5 days later, she walked out of the hospital. And she's really sharper now than, not that she wasn't sharp. I'm not getting out of that one, Simon.
God healed her.
Oh, man. And why did God choose me? I don't know. I don't know. Another missionary wife, she passed away on the operating table. I don't know why God does what he does, but I choose to trust him in all events. How many of you enjoy victory? Victory! Victory! But what has to come before there can be a victory? There has to be a hard time. There has to be a struggle. There has to be a battle. There has to be things that happen that we don't understand. But God, he brings the victory. Whether it happens the way we want it to or not, there's always victory in Jesus' name, because he can do the impossible. He can do the miracles. I am a living example. He can do miracles. And he gives us the victory. In Hebrews 10, the top of this portion of the scripture, it says a call to persevere. We need to persevere. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good works. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The day approaching? Is there a day approaching? Jesus is coming soon. The signs are all around us. The day is approaching. We need to encourage one another. We need to give hope to one another. If God has done anything for you, you have a testimony. Somebody needs to hear it, and you need to share it. And encourage one another even more as we see the day approaching. Right before we left Slovakia, one of the Roma pastors came to me. He said, Patty, I got to tell you the story, because we had just translated the New Testament into the Roma language, and we'd passed it out everywhere. Everyone wanted one. So he said, I got to tell you the story. So this lady in our church, she came up to me and she was just weeping. She was weeping. And he said, why are you weeping? And she said, Pastor, I've been reading the New Testament and I didn't know that God knew my language. She experienced the reality of Jesus Christ, and she now knew that God knew her language. And God knows your language. Whatever you're going through, whatever's going through your mind, he knows your language. He knows exactly what you need. If it seems big or small to you, he knows how to fix it. He knows how to help you. He knows how to encourage you and give you hope. My favorite scripture in this season, because the pandemic has been hard for all of us, and I noticed that a lot of the songs we sang this morning had the word hope in them. And in Romans 15:13, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can encourage one another because we know where hope comes from. Jesus Christ. He is our victory. He is our hope. He can do all miracles if we just trust in him. Thank you for your praying for us. We need it. And as we go to Slovakia in May, please pray for safe travels and that God would direct us to how we can best minister while we're there. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, dear. We usually turn it to the pastor about now, but I just want to have one last thing to say, that I want you to pray with us. As Patty mentioned, we're going back May the 3rd for about a month, a little over a month. There's meetings. We had some leadership changes. And so we're going there, but we're also have been given several thousands of dollars to help with this thing. The immigrants or the refugees coming in from Ukraine and our churches. And so we're going to find out what they need. And then we've got thousands of dollars to give to help with that fund. If you want to give to help with that, you can go online to McClung's.net. It's on our prayer card. It's all out there on the table. And you can give now. It's up on the top. And you can click in there and it'll give you, you can put in the information. And then there's a little white thing and you put Ukraine refugees or Ukraine relief. And it'll get to us and we'll be able to get that there. And so that is going to help. And also, if you need to help us, if you want to help us, we need that. And Pastor's going to take an offering in a minute. But I want to close with the guy with the keyboard. This song has just been such a great blessing song. Sometimes when we come back to the States, we always hear a song and it's like I don't know any other words, but it just blows you away in an awesome way. And this is one of them. I have a new granddaughter, like Pastor has. His is mine's a little month older. It's just kind of like me, a month older than Pastor. Well, a year older. Anyway, Ruta is her name. It's Ruth in English. She's so precious. And I love her so much. And God has spoken to me so clearly how much He loves every one of us more than I love my granddaughter. And I think there's somebody that here today, maybe watching online. You need to hear that. God loves you more than I love my granddaughter. And He's got a plan for you. Don't let it go, babe. Don't let it go to waste. Get into what God wants for you. Yes, there'll be have some things that you're going to have to let loose of. There's going to be have some things you're going to have to hang on to. But hang on to Jesus. Pray for Slovakia. Pray for Wendell and Patty. Pray for your pastor, their family, all the pastors, and one another. And as our brother leads this song, and Pastor will come. But thank you for allowing us to come, Pastor. And thank you for receiving us. And thank you for giving so that we can go. God bless you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you, be gracious to you. Lord, turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Be seated for just a moment. We'd like our ushers to come. We'd like to wait upon you for a love offering for our missionary that'll go towards keeping them on the field. We do thank you for your missions giving. We are so blessed to get to support missionaries like the McClungs because of our praying and our giving. Because of their going and their preaching, God is getting all the glory. Amen. God is doing great things. So if you're giving in the offering today, you can just put on your offering envelope, McClung, McClung, and we will make sure they get that. Make it out to the, if you're a check, make it out to the church. You will give them one check. So, Father, We thank you, Lord, for Wendell and Patty and their family, their children and grandchildren. We thank you, Lord, for the people that you have sent them to there in Slovakia. We thank you, Lord, for all the wonderful testimonies we've heard and for the many, many more testimonies that will come. Father, we just pray for a great move of your Spirit there as they minister to these refugees coming from the Ukraine. Thank you, Lord, for their open arms. Thank you, Lord, for their willingness to love them and reach out to them and give them Jesus and provide for them. And I pray, Lord, that you just strengthen the Slovakian church there as they minister. Lord, we just pray for this offering today that it will be a blessing and will able to keep them there on the field and to see many more years of fruitful labor. And so, Father, bless both the gift and the giver today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God. He's a God of breakthrough. Amen. He's a God that loves you. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I trust that you will get right with God and experience of his love. If he can take a pot smoker and make him a preacher, if he can take you from marijuana to missions, God can do anything. Amen. I say that and give all glory to God. Amen. Praise God. There's nothing he can't do. Give your life to Jesus and you'll never regret it. Father, I thank you, Lord. And Lord, I pray if there's one, I just feel compelled to do this. Lord, if there's somebody here today that they need Jesus today, Lord, right now,
While heads are bowed, is there anyone here that you say, I need Jesus today? I need Jesus in my heart right now. I want to pray for you before we leave. Anyone here? I'm going to take just a moment to give this altar go. I remember when he was talking about his dad here 6 years ago. There may be somebody here today that you were invited to be here. Maybe you're here every Sunday, but maybe you don't know that you've ever really given your heart to the Lord. We can change that today. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. The Lord knows every heart. God, I pray that right now that we all have an assurance of our hearts that we are right with you. That if you came back today, there would not be one single person left in this property, that we would all meet you in the air. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your salvation that you provided through Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that many more lives are changed in the Ukraine, in Slovakia, and other most parts of the world, and right here in Noble, Oklahoma. I pray, Father God, that you move by your Spirit across this land, and we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. God bless you today. Have a great rest of your day. Be sure to greet the McClums. They'll be